really want to get too started until they can make it in. But at least I'd like to talk for a little bit and kind of warm you guys up, as if you needed more warming up. This particular series of classes, I'll talk a little bit about what I have planned. I've done this many times before. The last time I did the full curriculum, it was 60 hours. I have that much material without repeating myself. Now, however, if you do catch me repeating myself, it's okay to say you've already talked about that. I'm good with that because I have bad memory. What I do when I'm teaching is I'm emitting wisdom pellets. So what the hell qualifies me to be giving out little bits of wisdom? I'm living a very successful life. I'm at a very elevated level. How many people here have heard of Maslow's hierarchy of needs? Okay. For those of you who are not familiar, it's like a pyramid. We're down at the bottom, we've got the basic needs handled: oxygen, sleep, food, shelter, that sort of thing. And then higher up you go, the more esoteric it is. But at the very tip of the pyramid, what is it? Anybody remember from their college days?
Well, self-realization.
Yeah, self-realization. I'll talk more about that. But one of the most important characteristics of someone who has reached a certain level is that their desire is to turn around and help others get to that level too. Welcome. Thank you for joining us, please. I was just getting started. Thank you for joining us. Those are kicking shoes. All right. So what I'm doing now is I'm introducing myself. It sounds very arrogant, very self-centered for me to say that I'm all self-actualized. But I am. I earned this place in my life. My job, my desire, is to get you guys to this level too. In terms, not just in terms of this is how you throw a toy, but in terms of how to be about it. What I'm teaching, I don't know how many of you have read, you know, what this is about. I don't know how many of you have heard about it only because you saw it on the board. Who knows? But I'm just going to assume that you haven't heard much, so I'll talk about it. But thank you for joining us. The purpose for these classes is mentoring, because there really aren't enough elders in the community on the, you know, pansexual side or on the gay side. Speaking for the gay side, the men that I revered the most, who would have been our wonderful, wise, revered elders, were the first ones to die. I've talked about this many times. I'm unusual because I have made it through. I didn't die, and I stuck around. But I don't know if you read any of this before, but I'll talk about it. When I got out of 12 years of Catholic school, I knew how horribly ignorant I was. I knew, like, no life skills. And I felt the lack, and I knew how ill-prepared I was for the world. So what I did is that I found older gay leathermen. And I was in paradise, absolutely in paradise. I had an older boyfriend, and I never was his submissive. I've never been submissive. But I was always a sir in training back in the 70s. And there were plenty of guys that were glad to help me to learn more. Because here I am, I'm tall, big dick, love to fuck older guys and love to play with them, and loved knowing what they knew. Because guys my own age didn't know any more than I did, and I knew where to go for the information. So every time I would play with a man, afterwards I would say, how could I have made that better? And he would gladly tell me. Well, I did that aggressively thousands of times. This was back in the 70s. And I went to big, big, big play parties. I went to big fuck parties. I went to all these things. I was always the centerpiece. I was a young guy with lots of stamina. Had a lot of fun. And I learned an enormous amount of stuff, not just in terms of technique, but in terms of how to be in the world as a dom top, in a way that works for the maximum number of people. That's the sort of things I'll be talking about primarily. When we talk about hard skills in terms of technique, I see an awful lot of classes with Club X, and I like this, that are hard skills. You know, this is how you do piercings, this is how you do this, how you do that, and that's a good thing. My specialty that I'll be teaching during these classes is soft skills, life wisdom, things like how to deal with unwelcome attention without being a jerk. Because as a Dom, if you're doing well in the world, if you're happy, you're confident in yourself, subs come flying at you from every direction, and not all of them will be to your taste. How to graciously let someone down so that they go away happy instead of cursing your name, for example. Or the entire long class on giving permission, which is a very, very important thing for Doms, Tops, Sirs, you know, Dominas to do. Thank you. I'll be teaching a lot about coping mechanisms, winning techniques. I'll be doing a lot of parables to illustrate points. It's what I do. It's how I teach. I've been teaching a large amount of my life. And the reason why I do it is because my way of thanking all those people that taught me is to pass on what I know. Now, what I'm going to be doing during this series, brother, welcome. What I'm going to be doing during this series is I'm going to be recording. If you don't want, you know, your stuff to be recorded, just let me know. The reason why I'm doing it is because I found that if I post it online, people all over the world download it and listen to it. They want to know. Every time I post something on YouTube, it just goes crazy. What I get in the reviews when I post these things is that people are happy with the fact that I'm always teaching from love, that I'm not just lecturing down at you guys. See, right now, for the most part, I'm at a certain level, and let's say you're picturing yourself here. My job is to get you up here. I want you there. I want every one of you to win. I want everybody during this process to be happy with each other. That's a big goal for me. Why? I could just get away with just talking at you guys left off in the distance with my arms crossed. I'm not that guy. The reason why is by nature, I'm a nuclear-powered Julie the Cruise director. I love people. I want all my friends to like each other. And I'm very good at creating that space, that opportunity for you guys. We all know how to be evil, angry bitches. I know how to be cynical. I know how to be bitter. I am never happy when I'm in that space. I don't want any of these to be like that. I want these to be comfortable. I want it to be peaceful and sweet. Show of hands. How many people here are aware of flog swarms? Okay, obviously you. Okay. Thank you. Yes, several of our stars in the room are quite aware of it. The flog swarms were invented as a way for all of us to drop shields with each other and to find reasons to love and trust and play with each other in a very beautiful way. What happens is that, see, I'm a very sadistic top. I'll talk more about that. I'm a hyper-sadistic kind of guy. I can take it as far as any human being can take it and be very happy with it. And I also rejoice in my childlike sense of creativity and fun and play. That I'm not ashamed to admit that. But there's balance in my life. I'm not just one note. I'm a symphony of many notes. I'm a diamond with many facets. Everyone here is too. And that's what we'll be talking about how to embrace the sides of yourself that may be dark. I've got a very dark side to me, but I've learned to embrace it. I call it the dragon. We'll be talking more about that. But how to find balance so that, let's say, I'm going to brag at you guys. My husband Dennis and I just celebrated 25 years together. Next year we'll be celebrating 25 years married. And we'll be doing the grand tour of Europe. Next July, my whole family is coming down from the San Fernando Valley to come to help me celebrate 40 years of San Diego Gay Pride. I've never missed one. I have two extremely devoted and sweet slaves. Raise your hand, Bob. There's both of them right there in one person. No, Larry couldn't make it tonight. But my husband adores my slaves, just adores them. They're his best friends, and I couldn't be happier about that. And so then my leather family will be traveling to Palm Springs for Palm Springs Leather Pride Halloween weekend. Mm-hmm. Yay. I am loved, and I say this to you with humility, in that I am very loved. This last time that I went out for events on my birthday in December, by the way, I prefer expensive gifts. But but what happened is that I was continually being immobilized in a very happy way. I went to a public event, and people just started clustering around me in a big group hug and just immobilizing me. And I loved them, and I blessed them. And then it released me 10 feet later, it would happen again. I want this for everybody. That is my goal. I want everybody to be that happy. I want everybody to be that comfortable inside themselves. I still have a lot of issues. There's still work I'm doing all the time with the Mankind Project to help me deal with old pieces of problems that have been, you know, tormenting my whole life. I've been through a lot of troubles in my life. But I'm in the game. I'm in the process. I'm in the growth and maturity game. And that's really what I encourage with these classes. I want all of us to be eagerly gathering wisdom, not just from me, but from each other. What I ask during this semester, if we're going to call it that, is that you all give yourself permission to wear an invisible t-shirt that says mentor on it. So if I say something, it's not holy writ coming down from the mountain. It's just my opinion. And if you come up with something or say, oh, I want to add something, please do that. This is not meant to be a monologue. At the moment it is. But I love audience participation. I'm not distressed by it. I like it. Any of you who've ever been to any of our men's discussions that we've been having in this space, it's a rock and roll party, isn't it? We talk, we laugh, we interact with each other, we joke, and it's fun because we do something very different. And this is where we're going with this particular session today. I want you to understand this. There is no such thing as an A-list tonight, and there won't ever be. What I say to you is that there's not going to be the worthy people over here and then everybody else sort of investing the wrong planet over here. That's not how we work it. What this is about is everyone has value in and of themselves. Why do I say such a thing? I don't want anybody fearing that they're never going to be listened to, that their people are going to say, yeah, yeah, talk to the hand. I want you to understand that your feelings, your thoughts, your observations, whatever you have to share, it's valuable. That everyone, my request is that you bring your A game. If you don't know, it's okay. If you're clumsy, it's okay. If you're not sure about anything, that's why we're here. I'm here to support you so that I can help you get past your stoppages. It's what I'm good at. And my reason for doing these classes, again, is because I love doing it, and I find that it ripples out in the world, that when I teach DOMs, TOPs, masters, they go forth in the world, they take their show on the road, and they share what they know, and it ripples outward. I mean, I hear about them when they move to another city, and they're causing massive impacts of joy wherever they go. And I couldn't be happier about that. I mean, what a legacy, you know, to know that stuff like this is still spreading long after I'm gone. And that's a delightful thing. And that's really what this is about. I don't make a penny from this. I'm not looking for sex from any of you guys. I'm not looking for money. My pleasure is just go forth. So whatever it is that shows up for you, I want to hear about it. Interrupt me often. Just raise your hand and get my attention, please. You know, that sort of thing. So what I would like for this particular session today, we're not going to do any actual, like, hardcore teaching. I'm just kind of giving you the overview, the intro. I'm going to call for any questions, and then we're going to go around the room and do a little bit of self-intro. How did you find out about this? What's your name? I'll prompt you with questions if necessary. I'm good at that. I'm, again, Julie, the cruise director. And I want all of us to tell something about ourselves that would cause everybody to like us as a friend. Now, that's an odd thing to say, and it's however it shows up for you. But I want you to just be able to understand that we want to like each other in this group. I say so. I'm the guy who sets the tone, and I've been doing this for decades. I've hosted over 3,000 events, really, since 1981. It's what I do. It's my nature. And I'm really good at putting out a fire before it gets big. So that's why things don't go wrong. So you can count on multiple people in this room being what I call traffic cops, in the sense that, you know, you go to a play party and there's some dungeon masters. Those are people who, by their nature, are naturally keeping an eye on things. Well, some of us can't turn that off. Well, not that we're going to be going around shaking our fists at you, saying, you better behave, you better be good, you know, or else, you know, you get it. No, it's just that when all of us are taking responsibility for how things go, and we bring our A game, and we say, you know, I'm really wondering about this thing, and that nobody's going to ridicule you. Why? Because I'm going to make damn sure of it. because everybody has to start somewhere. It's okay to not know. It really is. This is a blessed place that whatever your expertise level is, whatever. You know, I'm not particularly interested in judging. It's not a competition, and it never will be. How about instead we find reasons to love and trust each other? How about we gather evidence that each one of us has value the way we are right now? And I get real passionate about this. The reason why I say it is because it's the easiest thing in the world for us to gather evidence. Oh, that one's toxic. Don't talk. That's not what we're here for. What we want instead is we're doing this as a team, as a brother and sisterhood, as a good collection of really good people. And that is my wish. And the reason why I'm saying all this is I want to set the tone for everything that goes onward. I want everybody to feel safe in the same way that when you fall backwards, that people gladly catch you. I want all of our events together to be in the same tone as naked three-year-olds playing in a mud puddle together. You just don't care how you look, you don't care how you sound, you're just happy with each other. As grown-ups in a very, very busy society, that's kind of hard to picture sometimes. But we do it all the time in my crowd. A lot of you are new to the crowd, so welcome. I want you to understand what this is about. There is not going to be any interest in playing ego games, causing fracases or anything like that. I'll take responsibility for how things go. So if we find reasons to love and trust each other, I'm good. Now the reason why I say this, now this is important, this is very important of all the things I've talked about. This is the first time I've done one of these classes that included women. I am not anti-women. I want you guys to be really clear. The reason why I'm opening this up is because I understand that my mind was closed to people who are not like me. Until very recently, as a young gay man, a long time ago, I made a decision in order to survive that I could not trust heterosexual men and I couldn't trust women for all sorts of very valid reasons back in the 70s, but I never knew when it was time to let go. I never knew when it was time to drop it and open up my heart. And the reason why I'm opening up my heart with people who are not like me is because all I get is rewards now, and I regret all the years that I spent not doing that. And that's why I rejoice to have the diversity and the pleasure of having everybody here. And you can count on me to do my part. If I say something that doesn't ring right, what you guys say, okay, this is important again. If I say something that doesn't work well for you, immediately say, ouch, and get my attention. Because I need to learn. If there's something that I say that isn't quite sounding like something that you would get pleasure from, if you're offended or something, it's okay. Let me know. Educate me. Help me. Because I'm still learning, just like all of us. I have a lot of knowledge in me, and I'm probably going to have to really, really struggle sometimes during this curriculum to explain things that's not just like plain old gay man's version. You know, you guys are going to have to learn to forgive me, because that's what I've been doing for decades and decades and decades. If you read any of the material beforehand, I started wearing leather in 1975 and started living leather in 1977. The distinction is, I started doing kinky things. I started fisting, I started flogging, I started doing some bondage, not a lot, and doing a lot of other really wild and kinky things way, way, way back then. Well, I never stopped. And I've been doing it in different ways. Now, why do I not know advanced, I don't know, pick a topic. There's a lot of stuff I don't know about. There's a lot of things that you pick a topic and there's people out there who know 100 times more than I do. The difference is, if they're not here, they're not helping. The reason why I do this is because whatever I have, it's yours. It's my gift. Okay. So having explained that, so let me tell you a little bit about, I'm going to start, we're going to go around the room. I'm Tony. I will be 60 in December. I've talked a lot about me so far, so there's not a lot else. But as far as the thing I would love my new best friends to know about me, is I'm a sensational hugger. I mean, really sensational. You have no idea how good it is. Because what I do, and I'll be teaching this, is I hold space with people. I'm very present with them. And it's a really good way to hug people. And it's a great way to be very popular in the world. By nature, I'm a natural-born St. Bernard puppy. I love everybody. It's my nature. It's my wiring. I want to find reasons to love everybody. It's just my. I'm in the Myers-Briggs personality test. I'm an ENFP. Less than 2% of adult males have my personality type. I'm quick to find answers to things. I'm enthusiastic as hell. Hanging around with me for too long at a time is like sitting too close to a bonfire because I'm intense. I mean, I'm really ramping it back right now, trying not to scare you guys, but I'm intense. But that's what I wanted to say everybody about me, so please.
I'm Amanda. I'm 46. I first got...
Okay, thank you. I had to find the proper memo. Yeah. Anyways, now this is esoteric. This is kind of way off into the hinterlands, but it means a lot to me. Now, I am not in any way going to draw lines of distinction between one thing being worthy and one not being worthy, but I'm going to talk about the conflict that we almost never talk about between the philosophy of scarcity and bounty. Okay, I'm a very proud champion for the concept of bounty, and I'll explain my terms. If I am a dom top and I treat all my submissives like shit, there's a need for that. There's a lot of people that are saying, please do that with me. I beg for that. That is what satisfies me. That is a good thing. There's a power differential where, you know, one is worthy, the other one is not. I can't do that. I mean, well, on second thought, I'll say it again in a different way. I can do that too well. Like you, I have a deep perception for people in that my secret superpower is that I know how to say exactly the right thing to crush your soul and do it very effectively because I'm very smart and I'm very perceptive. I haven't done it in like 30, 40 years because I don't want to be that guy because I'd be too good at it. I fear that part of myself. I grew up in a very violently abusive household, so I know what mental cruelty can be and what the cost can be. So I don't want to be the one who does that, even if they're begging for it. I say, go find somebody else. I come from bounty, and this is just terms I made up. This is just my opinions. My bounty is that there's plenty enough love and respect for everybody. My submissives tend to frolic like puppies. You know, technically they probably are puppies, mm-hmm. if you really drew it that way. But they are joyful, playful, affectionate, lighthearted, and frisky. They're not downtrodden. They're not constantly being whipped, you know, with disapproval. So that's just me. And I'm just saying that if you're looking for information on how to degrade somebody or verbally abuse somebody, I'm not your guy.
Humiliation play.
Say it again?
Humiliation play.
Right.
Yeah, I also have a hard time with it.
Yeah.
Well, because I've had to learn that, because it was a weird concept, even now, like, pretty much, because everyone has their triggers, and those little buttons that we push, and all those types of things. So if I know if it's a thing, and then I'm still nurturing a nature, like, after I do certain things with my husband or whatever, he's like, that was the best. And that's what I get from it at the end. But I'm not, yeah, that whole humiliation thing is a challenge. It's a different ball of wax.
Mm-hmm. Well, people can have, thank you, sorry, I can't remember.
No, we want you to. I'm not threatened by that.
So what I found is that people will ask for things that they can't handle. People will inevitably mm-hmm. ask for things that they can't handle.
Oh, yeah.
Could you give a for instance? Mm-hmm. Could you give a for instance?
I can give a for instance. I was hooking up with someone who I've been friends with for 10 years in the back of my mom's Jeep at my 10-year high school reunion outside of the house where the rest of our classmates were waiting up for us. And she said, call me a slut. Call me a slut, call me a slut, call me a slut. We didn't negotiate. We were hooking up. We weren't playing. And I slowed down. I had to stop myself and be like, maybe next time.
Mm-hmm.
And then pick back up and keep going. Because, like, yeah, I have that urge to degrade. I have that urge to, like, mm-hmm. push your buttons and see how far you'll go. But, you know, I've known you for 10 years, but we're across the country from each other, and we're not up on each other's everything. We have never negotiated. And you're asking for something you can't handle, and that's fine for me because I can say no. But, like, a lot of people will ask for too much, and a lot of people won't say no.
There's a lot of people. One of the first things my husband said when I was starting to play with other people was, First of all, subs are selfish, and not in a negative way. They're just kind of in their own headspace and that type of thing. But they're also, a lot of them don't know when to say no or can't say no. They get in that subspace. We've discussed it before, like, okay, I'm going to tell you, like, A, B, and C when we're playing, but don't really do them ever. Or, like, he'll tell me after, like, he'll say, oh, you're going to do this with your boyfriend and do that and all these other things, and then afterwards he's like, yeah, don't really do that. And we've definitely made we've taken effort to clarify what is, we call it slut space versus, you know, regular time. It's definitely a headspace. You get in that headspace where, like, you're a dirty whore, and you get in there and all that type of thing, and then things escalate, and it can be really damaging. I'm going through that with my sub now. We've had a rocky road just because of the person he's in another relationship with who doesn't know these things or whatever, and he's got needs, and how do I, you know, life. And so he's definitely one of those people who won't say no, doesn't know how to say no, doesn't know his own limits yet, but glad that I was there to bring up red flags and stuff like that. So that's a very common thing with subs and that want to be called a whore, and that humiliation.
What I hear underneath all of this is the desire to be ethical. Mm-hmm. And I admire that. Because we have to be responsible, you know. I mean, I know I do. I'm joyful in responsibility. I'm not threatened by it. I don't run away from it. I'm so responsible that if I say I'll be there, I'm there. I don't blow people off. If I'm going to be late, I immediately let them know I'm going to be a little late. Where all this is underneath is the golden rule. The sort of people who respond to the invitation to this, correct me if I'm wrong, tend to also have the golden rule in every cell of their body. We can't not be ethical. We wouldn't be here otherwise. See, the reason why I phrased the invitation the way that I did, the reason why I do the things that I do in the way that I do, is to attract and retain the responsible people, the ones who really care about the effect of what they're doing. They don't want to abuse that power, and that word abuse is intentionally in there. Because it's very present, you know, that possibility. See, I know what a deep, dark soul I really have inside me. And I'm not in jail. I'm not dead. I have made it through to almost age 60, being a hardcore sadistic top, and still being loved, and still being in balance in my life. And that's really what we're all looking towards as a goal, I assert. You know, I'm projecting here, but I believe that that is a lot of what you guys are looking for. To be able to have that facet of yourself come to the front and then to go back to a different area later, but to be more comfortable and to be okay with yourself. That's really going to be a large amount of where we go with this. To be able to be passionate, be powerful, maybe take it real dark, but also be able to look ourselves in the mirror. And I'm really looking forward to that discussion. You know, and again, this is a discussion. So if you feel like interrupting, please do. Like I said, who knows where this goes? What I do in my style, you notice I don't have notes. Notice I don't spend a lot of time saying, The reason why is because I'm not threatened by change. I surf on the tip of the wave of change. If things are going in a new direction, I go riding along happy with it too. So come with me on that. It's going to be a little, I mean, there's some people that really like things to be more rigorous, and that's okay. This is my show. That's okay. So we'll cover a lot of very rigorous stuff. But tonight, like I said, it's more about setting the tone. Tonight is about the connection that we find with each other where we can drop the shields. I didn't talk much about the flog swarm. I'll send out the link to the pictures and stuff and the explanation, so I'll make sure everybody gets that. But what it's about, really, a lot of times we're very structured in how we are with each other. It's almost a kabuki dance, you know, that you have to do in the kink community, negotiating and all the rest of that stuff. But sometimes it's nice to just be a bunch of happy kids playing together.
Theorists actually call it the script.
Yes.
So like we have the male grays, a lot of philosophers or psychologists call it the script of life.
Mm-hmm.
You say, hi, how you doing? I'm fine. Okay.
Yeah. And that's fine. But what if instead we just make it up as we go along, and everybody brings their A game, and everybody's having fun, and it's almost entirely nonverbal. And we've been doing these very successfully. We really need to plan another one and soon. But what they are is just constant creativity with everybody going, okie dokie, and you just have fun. I know I'm being a little vague, because the reason why I'm so vague is it changes every time based on what people bring, you know, what ideas, what passion, and all that. And it's very tribal. Now, when I say tribal, I'm going to explain a little bit about the distinction between old guard, new guard, and prehistoric guard. The philosophies that I put forth are very prehistoric guard, meaning I like tribal. So what is the distinction? Tribal is there's a natural mechanism for mentoring and sharing of what we know and treasuring the new and honoring the old, but also where everybody has their place, that everyone has value, that the way that you are, let's say I'm going to point at somebody, okay, you, the tools that are missing from your toolbox may be present in mine and vice versa. But if we're not open to that possibility, we'll never know. But when everybody shows up and everyone has value, such as every one of these classes, you're going to be honored, you're going to be loved, you're going to be listened to. You're not going to be dismissed, yeah, whatever, talk to the world. We don't do that. The reason why is because we can reach all sorts of new heights together if we have this basis for trust. That's why I made sure that this meeting was, this get-together was like this. I want you guys to understand what the expectations are going forward. That we're going to be really eager to find out what the gold that is in all of this. That's why I do this. That's why I want to make sure the whole thing is basically talking about ourselves and establishing trust and commonality. And I'm seeing already that we're already getting some really good responses, and I'm loving it. So please, more of whatever it is that you have to share, I want to hear it. And I'll be sharing too. I'll keep up. So, any questions, any thoughts, any observations so far? Opinions? This happens a lot. Don't feel bad. When I get going, people try to keep up, and they get a little nonverbal for a while. It's okay. So, next time we get together will be 2 weeks from yesterday. It'll be in this space. Okay.
No.
Pardon? No, not in this space. I'm sorry, you're right. Thank you. It'll be wherever the hell we are, and you will know.
It's going to be right up the road.
Yeah.
Where Choose Gym is, up there by the mall, it's in that building. You're going to go up the stairs or either from the back, but if you find the wedding place, keep going. It's right there. I don't know if we have signs or whatever, but I don't know if they're going to put them out every time for every class.
Well, I'll be hovering outside the door if you haven't been there before. But as you're driving down the freeway, going this way, on the right, you've got Marvin K. Brown Cadillac. Well, just before that, you've got the big building that during the holiday season says Joy in the windows, or that big pink circle that's right out in front of the gym. Yeah, big neon, pink neon circle. That's the building where we'll be. You'll have the address, and it'll be on the second floor. And like
and
I said,
always message the Stomping Ground if you have any questions.
Yeah, and I'll be
the Stomping Ground on FetLife or Facebook. I do the Facebook, and someone has always known the FetLife as well. We have
but I'll make sure you get the information. So that is anybody not already on my list right now? In case, okay, good. Because like I said, I'll make sure that you guys know what's coming up. You know, I'll give you a little. You know, little pushes saying, I really recommend this thing that's coming up. You know, it would be a good thing for you. You know, because we have a lot of really good resources. You know, let's use as many of them as possible. Is anybody here going to Folsom Street Fair this year? Very good. Now, these two gentlemen are already on my list of, as soon as they arrive, they text me indicating that they've arrived. And I'm going to take them on a joyful trip of the weekend in that they don't have to hang out with me. Obviously, you'll be busy with quite a few other things. But I'll be texting them saying, we're going in at 1 o'clock. We'll be over at Worn Out West where they sell all the used leather gear and a lot of it. Or we're heading on over to the Castro to sit in the window and people watch as we have breakfast. Okay. Or I might say, okay, right now would be a really good time to go to Mr. S. Leather because it's at the peak of the shopping frenzy. You know, naked people everywhere, free beer. It's just crazy, you know, and just fun. Oh, it really is. And so, see, since I know all this stuff, then my job is to make sure that the new guys are having a really rocking good time too, and that invitation is out to you guys too. You know, so if you're going to be going to an out of town event, and if I'm going, let me be your den daddy. I get a lot of pleasure from it. I've been doing this forever, but my pleasure is that I get to enjoy it through your eyes.
And that's one thing too about Folsom. I'm sorry to interrupt. Is
please.
Folsom Street is everything and anything. If you guys, I don't know if you guys have ever been there. Like, people have not been there. It's everything you could imagine, from straight, gay, to bisexual, to drag queens, to it's everything. And it's just amazing just to sit back and watch a lot of it too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of demonstrations going on. It's amazing. So if any of you guys have never been, definitely.
The thing that I would say, but thank you. The thing that I would add is that it's the largest outdoor festival in California every year. You get about 500,000 people coming into town.
Cool.
And it's like that.
Oh, yeah. It's...
And later in the afternoon, I have to get the hell away because it's so crowded that, say, like, I'm a big guy. I can see above everybody else. And I can see where there's weaknesses in the crowd to try and get through to our, you know, we're trying to get back to the hotel. But if someone gets separated from me, I will stop, and it'll take them 20 minutes to go 20 feet to get to me, because it's that goddamn crowded, and I get overwhelmed. But a little bit is good at the beginning, but, you know, beyond that, I kind of get overwhelmed. But what my specialty going forward, like I said, is I'm good at creating things in the moment, and so we're going to do some very frisky, very frolicsome things. And when we do the practice stuff together, we're going to have a lot of fun with it. Yes?
You said you're recording your teaching. Is there any chance you're recording next week?
Oh.
Or the, not next week, the Wednesday, the non-Thursday class that I can't.
Yes, I will. Yeah, I promise. Yeah, absolutely. Because the topic of the next one is going to be training somebody's ass. This is something I'm a 10th degree black belt on. I'm really, really good at that. And I will. This is one of the, I figure let's start off with a bang, so to speak. Now, this will be simultaneous with the Fetishman San Diego event. And everyone here is everybody as welcome as all of our regulars. Nobody will be any problem. There won't be any issues at all. You'll be just as welcome as you are here. You know, traditionally, we hold sacred male space, but not all the time. We're not anti-female at all. We love and support, as I've said before to some of you, the good man, the one who wants to be a good man, because we don't always honor that. We don't always look for that. We always, like I said, you know, there's a lot of suspicion out there for the, you know, the random man. We don't know what he's about and all that. Well, what if you lead with your big, beautiful heart? What if you're the sort of person who, like I said, you want to make sure that things are fair in the world? Well, that's the kind of men that we attract. And you guys are going to love them. We're a lot of fun. Now, what we're doing this next Wednesday, if you would like to join us, we're going to be at the 95th Aero Squadron? 94. They've got a new one. No. No, we're going to be doing that instead of our usual meeting. And the pleasure of it for us is just mixing and mingling and finding new friends.
The 94th is a fun one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's on Wednesdays?
Mm-hmm.
Well, once a month.
Once a month on Wednesdays. It's actually been around for like 17 years. Mm-hmm. Not the same people, but...
Coming Wednesday?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It's great because people... it's not... sorry, it's not a society. It's not a group. It's not a club.
Yeah, and it's a lot of new people go to that one, mm-hmm. too, because it's at a restaurant.
Just a social, is that what it is?
Yep, just a social.
So, so people from all walks. And it's great because you meet people that are in other groups, and they're like, oh, hey, come to my group, and you Your social group expands exponentially the longer.
One thing I do have to say about this whole group thing, I totally didn't expect this. I love that there are like women here.
Yeah.
I mean, I just totally expected just men, and I think this is really, really cool.
I'm with you. Now, for the gay men in this room who may not have experienced this, when you go to something like the 94th Aero Squadron, you'll be treated like royalty if they know that you're with our group. Because the pansexual crowd really wants to be closer friends and sisters and brothers and allies with the gay men, because we haven't been close to them. Mm-hmm. And this last time at the left of the slash dinner, I actually brought up two philosophical points, saying, here's some dividing parts that cause us to be apart.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do about it? And specifically what we talked about is, one, gay men generally don't hang out on FetLife. We have no idea what it's about. And during that meal, I said, what do we do about it? Well, I got a lot of feedback from it. One, I said, who's willing to teach me? Well, they taught me. I mean, actually, Stephanie came to my home, and she did a tour of FetLife from the FetLife doc's viewpoint, and I recorded it. So it's a movie that shows her moving the mouse around, and you can hear her talking, and I recorded it, and I posted it online. I'll make sure you guys have access to that. But one of the first things she said was incredible. She said, it's not a hookup site. It's a community site. I went, oh, that's why I couldn't get it. Because we're so...
People go out of their way to make sure... They'll kick you out if you're just there to hook up.
Right.
There's and a lot see, of red flags.
I didn't get that. Because we're so used to, as gay men, crotch sites. You know, Manhunt and Daddy Hunt and Adam for Adam, on and on and on. That to see something like this, it's a very different animal, and I loved it. And it's a beautiful tour that she gives. The other thing that came up was, I said, how come when us gay men go to a pansexual play party, no one will play with us? I've been baffled. I've been bringing gay men, and we want to play, and nobody will play with us. And because of their feedback, I came to the realization that we didn't show up at the previous event and book time.
Oh, yeah.
And see, we don't do that. And so what we're used to as gay men is we show up and we make it up as we go along.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's times where I'll be at a play party, and I'll be working on somebody else, I'll throw the flogger to a trusted buddy, say, finish up here, I'm on my way to the next thing. And we're just going back and forth. There's crowds of guys, and it's explosions of joy happening all over the place. And when I said this at the left of the slash dinner, everybody went, whoa. You know, it doesn't fly, you know, in a male-female environment. So, you know, we're finding out where, how to mesh, you know, how to cross the distance between. But what I've seen over and over again, one moment, and thank you, I'm almost done. What I've seen, again, though, that when we show up and we're identifiably connected with fetishmen in San Diego, it's rose petals and red carpets wherever the hell we go. Everybody's so good to us. So I urge everybody, come be on a field trip for the 94th Aero Squadron, 7 o'clock, I believe it is 7?
7 to 9:30.
It is next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
And it's a raffle, and they raffle
really
out
want to go, like,
leather stuff.
It's fun.
It's really nice. I would say, honestly, you know, it's not necessarily that there are women there. It's more that the cultures grew up separately. The cultures grew up completely separately.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like...
Absolutely.
I think that the idea of a party like you were describing, where people have this kind of innovative energy and there's a kind of a more relaxed atmosphere about partners and kind of maintaining things, and everyone keeps an eye on what's going on.
Oh, of course.
That sounds like a lot of fun. So, like, you know, I was just thinking about this, and, you know, it's just a cultural thing. It's not like it's dyed in the wool, you know,
right.
Women are different than men. But I think that, you know, if you explained that and were perhaps opening up a party that you had hosted in the past with just men to members of the broader community and just explained that, hey, this is a pickup play heavy party and people do all these things and we are maintaining an eye on everything and keeping everything safe. You can feel free to come in here and be that creative energy and be that explosion of joy. I think that there are many people that have experienced kind of the more sterile play environment that can exist in the pan community.
Yeah.
We find that really interesting and really exciting.
So with the creation of the Stomping Ground, all the communities have kind of grown, yay internet, and FetLife and stuff like that. So we're exponentially finding new challenges with, like you said, the different cultures. We, you know, they're coming from their leather culture, and then we have the fetish men came from their culture, and we have gone out of our way to do research, and hence why we have Papa Tony here, and we're starting the FetLife thing. And so we're really trying to get those things started, and we're loving what we're finding. Because we're finding everyone doesn't want to be separate.
No.
No one wants to be separate. They just don't know how to make it go together yet.
We all speak the same language.
Yeah, and we're learning each other's language, which has been so much fun this year.
Please.
I have a question. When you say play party, and then an idea for you.
Mm-hmm.
When you say play party, you're talking about...
Not fucking.
Not having sex. Got it.
Generally.
Yeah.
There's a lot of BDSM, scenes, things like that.
It could be any number of different things. It's, like I said, in the spirit of creativity.
Yeah.
So, if I could give some examples.
Yeah.
Like, okay. One of the things that happened about a year ago is that there was a leather fetish ball, and a buddy of mine and I brought fiber optic flogger type things, 3 feet long, with the digital handles, with 26 programmable months.
Mm-hmm. Last year, right?
Yes.
I was there.
Yes.
So I had a video of that, actually.
How did you feel about it?
It was really interesting. I was kind of wondering what that was. Because it's flogging, right?
Yeah.
It
was
like
a combination of flogging and technical toy.
And what is the material on that?
Fiber optics.
So you're actually on their backs with that fiber optic? Oh,
yeah. It's pretty stinging.
I actually have a video of that. Have you doing it?
Yeah, I have a really good video of it. And I'll have to send you guys the link to that, too. But the idea is that it's meant as a playful thing, so that the last flog swarm, several of us brought our flame wipes, as I call them. They're just fiber optic things because they flicker like flames. But then I just handed them away to people, say, show us what they got. And they do some poi with that. And then, you know, this one would do this, and this one would do that. We'd be applauding them and loving them. And then I'd say, okay, fire code says we can't build a bonfire in the middle of the floor. Instead, we're going to leave these on, leave them in the floor, and the drummers will start, and we're going to have a tribal dance together. Just for the fun of it. And just to let that energy out and just get all whipped up into, you know, excitement and fun. Well, that's not necessarily kinky, but it's something we do together, to celebrate together. The fact that, you know, we've dropped the shields with each other. I'm going to pass around a picture of what people looked like afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have an idea to share with you while you're passing that picture around.
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and pause this for just a moment.